B-Pod Studios.
All right, 98.5 is Sports Up. It's Toucher and Rich. I just love the off-air exchange that just happened here. So Ty Anderson walked in, and I didn't realize he was a WWE guy. But he goes, "Hey, Joe, Lacey Evans?" "Oh, yeah."
"He'll be here Friday. He'll be here next week."
Hey, what did you call her?
I was like, "Ooh, hello, Miss Lady."
"Hello, Miss Lady."
"Lady." This is awesome.
Just Google her. If you don't know who Lacey Evans is, like I did not, Google her. Because, you know, I'm the reaction that she gets when I mention her, when I mention her name to not only you, Ty, but Joe Murray, and I guess Sarge too, is not exactly what I expected. Like, she looks like she's not your typical, like, you know, beauty or whatever. She's like a kind of a strong built. She's got this kind of weird, like, like a pinup girl type thing.
Yes.
Like, from the 1930s? Or I got the
Southern Belle.
She wants me to join World War II.
Okay.
That's what she looks like.
That's exactly right. She looks like,
she's
Rosie the Riveter.
Kentucky Derby with those hats.
Yeah. But the reaction, whenever you mention her around here, anyone who watches is like, "Ooh, that's a lady."
So there'll be a line out the door when she shows up.
Should be.
My girlfriend doesn't know wrestling at all.
Like, yeah.
And then we started dating and we started watching it with all our friends and stuff. We always have parties for all the big pay-per-views. And she started watching it and like some girls would come out. She goes, "Oh, who is that?" Like, has the same kind of reaction.
So even women.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
My goodness.
That's the green
gracious.
Light, my
Hello.
Friend.
Yeah.
So I guess she's got that thing. And I'm telling you, every time we have one of the wrestlers on our show, within the next like 2 months, they're all of a sudden like they blow up. And and that's obviously probably by design because they know that we launched the careers of so many different people.
The bump goes across all platforms.
Yeah. The bump is everywhere.
The big push.
That's right. The big push. All right. So Ty, this is interesting. Should we be worried that the Bruins have not made a deal yet? When you see, you know, teams, you know, it's been very active over the last week. Big names being moved around, obviously the Lightning making a move. Should we be worried?
No, because I think that they weren't going to pay the price for some of these guys. And then you see what the Kings got for Tyler Toffoli, who they thought was going to be an option for them. These are high prices. And
yeah.
I think if they're going to pay that, they want a guy who's going to come in and be the guy. And that's a Chris Kreider. That's a Kyle Palmieri. That's a Josh Anderson. Those are the prices. Like, if you're going to pay that price, you're talking first-round picks and top prospects and future picks, conditional picks. You want to make sure you're getting somebody who is going to be a stud. And while I think Toffoli could be that guy, I think ultimately they want to know that it's a surefire kind of win for them.
I like Anderson a lot, but he's been hurt a lot. And you mentioned Kreider. The price for him is going to be through the roof.
What is the price?
The Bruins are going to be, well, if you saw his video, you posted it yesterday? You shot a ball.
Kreider.
You hit Kreider. So it's a first-round pick, a ready-made player, at least one prospect.
And maybe, maybe another pick,
and
too.
And maybe more. I don't know if Don Sweeney's going to do that, but I would, simply because the window on this core is beginning to close. You only get so many swings at this.
Yeah, and so I would pay that price, but not for Kreider. I would do it for Palmieri.
Okay.
Let's say the Devils came to you and said, "Okay, you can have Kyle Palmieri, but we need Anders Bjork, we need a first-round pick, we need a conditional pick beyond that, like a second that becomes a first if you win the Stanley Cup, let's just say. And something off your roster, salary filler, whether it's John Moore or David Backes, something like that. Would you do it?"
Yes.
It's a rental, right? This is just for the rest of the year?
No, he has one more year.
Absolutely, you do that.
So if they want another prospect, too.
Knowing that, yes. I think you would.
I would do that.
That's what I would do. This is just, again, some of this is what we know and some of this is not. But if it's Bjork, a first-round pick, another conditional pick, roster filler, salary filler, and then Euro Vakanainen, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, probably.
You think about it, but I think ultimately you do it because you realize that a 2020 first-round pick, and people say this is a good draft, but a 2020 first-round pick doesn't do anything for Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci and Tuukka Rask and Chara. You need help now, I think.
Especially when things for you. How low is this first-round pick? I mean, that's the other
part. If it's last year, it'll be 30th overall.
Well, and also think of it this way. If you're not going to do something to bolster your team now, then when are you going to do it? You're at the top of the standings right now. You've got a guy who's one of the best goalie, if not the best goalie in the league. You have the best scorer in the league. If you don't make a move this year, When are you going to do it?
And that's where I land on this. You have a historically good first line. Your goalie is going to be 33, and he's playing the best he's ever played in his entire life.
Yeah.
How many more years do you have of that?
That's true.
And Chara again, and Carlo and McAvoy are under contract. Krug is a pending free agent. This team could change a lot in the offseason. So I think that this is sort of their chance for a redo. Mm-hmm. Last year they were in on Mark Stone. They didn't have the price, you know, all the pieces to get him from Ottawa. I think they have the pieces to get a Kyle Palmieri or a Chris Kreider. I say you swing for the fences and you hope you can do it, because you can't rely on other teams to do your dirty work again.
Is there a prospect that you think that is no dice, that you will not deal?
Studnicka. Only because I look at where they are down the middle moving forward, and again, Krejci's gonna be 34, Bergeron's gonna be 35. Coyle is good, but he's not a face of the franchise kind of center. Yeah. I don't know if Studnicka is going to be, but I just like the idea of having that center depth still intact, because I don't know if you have a player in your pipeline who compares to Studnicka in terms of offensive creativity through the middle. I like what you've seen from him, too, so I want him to be a part of this team. Because, again, too, if you don't get this winger, you could theoretically move Coyle to the wing, mm-hmm, and have Studnicka slide in next year as your third-line center. So I like
the flexibility. He's killing it right now, isn't he?
Like, yeah, he's AHL All-Star, almost a point per game.
Leads his team in scoring, right? Leads,
yeah,
Providence in scoring by a lot.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's been it goes him and then Paul Carey, who's a AHL veteran, and then Solarik, who we'll never see again. So he's been a standout for that team. So I don't want to move him. That's the only guy I don't really want to move.
Are you shocked at how good this team is right now? Because at the end of last season, we had conversations like, dude, this was it. This was their shot. And look at all these people, these pieces that are moving. Everyone's older. And here they are, top of the standings, and they're playing out lights out. Are you shocked?
I don't know if shock's the right word, but I'm surprised at how everyone who performed at the ceiling last year, we thought, has been better. Like, Pastrnak has been even better than he was a year ago.
Marchand has been just
Marchand's
awesome.
The number three option on his own line.
I know.
And think
nuts.
About that. He's phenomenal. And he's at, what, 70-something points now, yep, already? And you're just like, this is unbelievable. This line is unbelievably good.
We were talking about Pastrnak and his goal-scoring ability, and he's got a chance to surpass Cam Neely's top total this year. Is he a Hart Trophy favorite? That's something that we've talked about the last couple of days. It's Draisaitl, it's him, and what, Austin Matthews? I mean, it's one of those three guys. Considering how well the Bruins have played, it's got to be Pastrnak in the lead at the moment, right?
So it really varies week to week. Like, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said Ovechkin, but he's kind of cooled these last few weeks. Draisaitl, I mean, the guy plays half an hour. I mean, it's unbelievable. He plays half the game. So he's an option too. Pastrnak, it really all depends where he finishes with the goals. I think if he leads the league in goals, you have to give it to him. That's just what I think. He's been, you look at how many times he's opened the scoring for the Bruins too. It's been a ridiculous number. And yeah, we know how they are when they have a lead. So he's been a huge part of what they do. But if I were voting today, I would still go Ovi 1, Draisaitl 2, and then Pastrnak 3. That's just me right now, though.
Okay, so I asked this to Billy Jaffe, and unfortunately, Billy Jaffe doesn't like to give answers a lot of the time. He likes to state a lot of things, but not quite really have a definitive.
Ride that fence.
I love you, Billy Jaffe, kind of. So
he's going to come in here and beat you up.
I know, he's fairly intimidating, but I know dark secrets of his. I've been to his bachelor party. Once again, I wouldn't say. I would never tell him. Are the Lightning a better team right now? They just made a move. They're obviously, I mean, on a tear. Are they a better team than the Bruins? And the good news is we're going to get to see them go head-to-head pretty soon. Are they a better team as constituted?
I think so. I think so right now, yes, because that team is deep. And you look at what they have at the bottom of their roster. Mm-hmm. Cirelli's been fantastic for them this year. But you also have the guys who... they're factors in a 7-game series when you have Cedric Paquette and you have Pat Maroon and you look at Kevin Shattenkirk's in a complimentary role on that team. Mm-hmm. They're phenomenal. I mean, they have been on fire. This is ridiculous. I think 23 wins in their last 26 games.
It's crazy.
Think about how good the Bruins have been, and they still only lead the division by like 3 points.
I know.
It's just they can't get any separation. So this team is on fire. And then Blake Coleman, I think he's a very, very good player. A lot of people don't know him because he played in a trash Devils team, but he is a very... very dynamic player in terms of what he can do, how he produces. So you put him on your third line, and now I look at that Tampa team and I go, that is a wagon. Mm-hmm. That is an absolute wagon. So yes, as of right now, I will say the Lightning are better, but we have until Monday, 3 p.m. for the Bruins to sort of level the playing field and get their guy.
All right, if you had a question for Ty Anderson on anything, hockey, video games.
That's a bad idea. We're opening this box here.
How much Lacey Evans makes you go, ooh.
Hey, I'm interested in that video that he did. I want some questions about that.
Right. Shooting pucks at a bunch of pictures.
Mm-hmm. There you go. 617.
Not a bad idea.
I thought it was very interesting. 617-779.
Has he ever seen a dead body?
Well, I mean, have you ever found a body part? That is a Mike Gorman special that we opened up to this past week. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay. It's 98.5 Sports Hub. Toucher Rich. Ty Anderson in the studio. You know who's not in studio? Joe Murray. And listen, if he's hearing this, don't get up. Joe Murray has worked an entire week. Don't you don't have to. You can relax. Relax. I'm not saying this to do a call to action. All right, Joe.
It's going
to
take a while to get that mass in motion.
So Joe Murray has been like a trooper this week. He has been coming in early every morning and after the show, immediately going into work, and he's been working like a full work day and doing all that.
Yeah.
And this is all on top of him trying to also, you know, keep his, you know, cool guy schedule going, like going out with the Kowloon crew last night and crushing everything on the menu over at the Stockyards. So during this commercial break, and you know it takes a lot for him to get up out of his seat, he got up, walked out, and there's like this really thick padded recliner out there.
He's getting high fives from everyone in the hallway. Good for you, Joe.
I've never seen a human being melt into a piece of furniture more than Joe Murray did. He just went, oh, and just watching him gave me this feeling of peace. Like,
it's like a landslide of flesh just like disappeared right into the chair.
Rich, almost at the same time, I went out there and I go, we have to find a way to get that chair into the studio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For you and Lifshatz tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
And he's at like a 45-degree angle, too. Like, the legs are out and the head's like,
you see, that's the sad part about it. He's been working basically doubles all week, and Saturday comes in up again, 5:45, 6 in the morning to get here for his show at 7.
And he's just tapping out, which, you know what, Joe?
That's fine.
You've earned it. Stay on that chair. I don't know who you're talking to out there. It was a weird conversation as I walked by, but doesn't matter. I'm sure you'll probably take anything in that chair.
So you know who Joe looks like? I've always said this. He looks like Suge Knight. And he looks like Suge Knight more than ever right now, just in this chair. He's not killing anyone, I know, but like, he looks a lot like him.
Vanilla Ice over a balcony and ready to kill him or anything.
Suge
like
Knight's
that.
A little bit bigger, but not much.
Didn't he go as Suge Knight one year for, wasn't there like, didn't, I thought I had heard him say something, because you're not the first one who said that. I think that that's kind of his, he looks like, you know, he looks like the New England Suge Knight. Towny Suge Knight.
Discount Suge Knight.
That's right. Suge Sully Knight. But I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think he's actually, I've heard that a couple times before. All right, Ty Anderson's in studio. We'll take your calls.
Suge Knight is not in studio.
Suge Knight, not in studio. Joe, you just relax yourself out there. You enjoy that. You take a little time off there. Let's go to Peter on line two. Peter, you're on with Ty Anderson.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So I have two questions to Ty. First, what are the chances Joe Thornton ends up back in Boston? And please say they're 0%. And second, does Forever 21 have any good sales coming up so I can let my kids know?
Hey, fella. They got good jeans, all right?
That was great.
I love that.
Is it embarrassing that I know that they're out of business?
They are not out of business, sir.
Forever 21?
No.
It's just a Downtown Crossing one near me. That one's out of business. That's good. So, you know. They still got the jeans you like.
Listen, if you can find better skinny jeans than there, you let me know, fella. No, Joe Thornton. So, Joe Thornton definitely. All right, so here's what I'll.
Shook you a little bit, didn't it?
It did. Okay. John Ferguson Jr., who's the director of player personnel for the Bruins, has been scouting the Sharks now for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Brendan Dillon's off the board, so he's already gone. He went to Washington for two picks, so. Joe Thornton's the only guy I look at and say that could be an option. Kevin LeBanc could be one as well, but I think Thornton is a guy that if they swing and miss on these wingers,
yeah,
Why don't you circle back to that and see if he can be had?
Okay, to that point, what was the biggest problem with the Stanley Cup final? What was the one thing that the St. Louis Blues did that was so much better than the Bruins?
They shut down the top line.
And they bullied them. Like, they were a team that reminded me of the Bruins who won the Cup years ago. They out-physicaled them. They bullied them around. Has that problem been solved with this team? Or are you still going to be going into the playoffs knowing that if there is a team that can come in and
that's why I wanted Anderson. I wanted Anderson from Columbus.
See, that's
for that
what I'm talking
reason.
About. That's yeah. Is that still a problem that needs to be addressed?
Well, I think that comes back down to the DNA of the team, right? That you can't change that overnight. And what I will say about the Stanley Cup last year is they didn't have Chris Wagner. They didn't have Kevin Miller. We don't know if Miller's going to come back. I don't think he's going to come back, personally. Yeah. I think there's too many injuries. That's a hard injury to come back from. He might be like the Pedroia of the Bruins in the sense that it's just, this is a really difficult thing you're trying to come back from.
It sucks because he's a good guy.
He's an awesome guy. Right. And it really pains me that I don't think he's going to be coming back. But you look at that. So that problem hasn't been solved on the back end. Absolutely not. And up front, I think that they rely on that fourth line to be that grouping for them. And I'll say this about Joe Thornton. Joe Thornton is a lot tougher and has a lot more balls, and I think people give him credit for it. If you look at how he's played the last...
I think people think of him that way. I think that he gets a little bit of credit for that, don't you think?
I think that people in Boston are hung up on what he used to be when he was 30 years old and had no really great supporting cast around him. He wasn't
Didn't go to the net, never got dirty in the middle. That was Stoughton's rep when he was here.
He's changed a lot, and you look at his last few playoffs, he's been a shutdown center for the Sharks. So I would like him in that regard. And also, he's a left shot center. They don't really have any of those. They have Corrali, but he's not like a skill left shot center. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would like Thornton. I don't think he's a priority per se, but if you swing and miss and you don't want to pay the price on all these other guys, maybe that makes sense.
You had a name that I didn't expect to see on your trade deadline big board thing that you threw out there. And I don't even know if this was just you threw it out there for, you know, hey, could you imagine, or if this is something that's realistic. Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yeah, so they were interested in slightly when he got bought out by the Kings. Never happened. He went to Montreal. I think that it could be an option, but I don't see it happening because I think it would require a really stupid decision on Don Sweeney's part.
Right. I mean, this seems really dumb.
Yeah, you could have had him for pennies. Now it's straight a third-round pick for him.
Right.
But I'll say this about Kovalchuk. He's cooled a lot. He started off Montreal on fire. His last few games, he's cooled down quite a bit. He hasn't been a factor. When the Bruins played Montreal last week, he didn't even notice him. And I'm a Kovalchuk fanboy dating back to the Thrashers days.
Sure.
So I would love it, but at the same time, I look at it and go, no. Not anymore.
No.
The time to do that was December when you waived Richie, or when you should have waived Richie and waived back as you do it a month later. But that was the time to do it. When you didn't have the tight window that you have now, you have 3 days to figure out what you're going to do. I would have done it when you had 2 months to figure out if this guy fits in your system.
Yeah, it just seems to me like if that was the move that they made, like if that was the one thing, how pissed would Bruins fans be?
Well, they're always mad.
Of course. I mean,
that's what keeps us going, I think.
You know, the one time they weren't mad was when they traded for Cabrera. Tomas Cabrera, who did nothing once he showed up.
He was
awful. They won the cup. They won the cup, but he did nothing while he was here.
And then he got the cup for a day, and they gave him a sword, and he was hanging out with, like, gigantic pig mascots. You remember this?
I do, because they did that whole thing where they followed each one of them around, and his day was, like, medieval times almost.
Yeah, and pig mascots and swords. And I was like, this is a weird guy. All right.
How can you play such a physical game like hockey every day and still have a face as doughy as Tomas Cabrera's?
It's unbelievable.
He was like Thomas the Train. He was like all like a big circle and just circle in flesh. All right, let's go to Zach. Zach, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Ty, my guy is Alex Took from Vegas. I know he's currently out with that dreaded upper body injury. And Vegas is still in the playoff structure, but he's 6'4", 220, right shot, right wing. I think he would look great riding on that Krejci line. He'd go into the offensive corners and come out with the puck. I question Kreider that Kreider shows up every night. So Took is my guy.
BC kid, right?
Yeah, he also has a contract, right? He begins extension, I think, next year. I think that's part of it.
I got no idea.
And he's having he's having an off year this year, if I remember right.
So I think that would require a hockey trade. Because Vegas, you know, like you said, Vegas in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
They need defensemen still. They got Alec Martinez, but they still need a defenseman. So that's a deal, especially if he has term on his contract. You're talking Brandon Carlo. You're talking like a piece of your NHL roster who has term, who's young, who's cost controlled. So that's a bigger deal. Carlo's on the NHL roster. He would be on my list of guys I'm not trading at all.
Okay.
Like, no matter, you know, the Rangers, the rumors, they want DeBrusque or they want Carlo. No, you're not getting either one of those guys. So Sorry. If you want Kreider that badly, you'll get him in the offseason. You're not going to mortgage that part of your future to get him.
Did you see DeBrusque's interview with his dad where he was like, I love you, dad?
So wholesome.
As wholesome as it gets.
We need more of that content.
It was like Canadian ball busting, which means it was like really nice. And
it was like hunting stories.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you tell too many hunting stories. Oh, your hair is a little messy. Oh, I love your dad. And then just get it away. And I was like, oh, how wholesome and Canadian at the same time.
That family is like the best.
Oh, sure.
The DeBrusque are the best family. Like, when they had the mom's trip, his mom was at his locker with him.
Oh, they did the interview together.
And they did it together. And she was talking about, he likes cheesecake. And I'm like, this is great. We're learning so much right now. I love this. But you know that there was one writer who was like, this is ridiculous. I need to ask him questions. And like, they were like, yeah, this is great. Cheesecake. All right. Yeah, it's relatable.
I love those people. It's just like, oh, I have a job to do here.
Yeah. Like, dude, you're writing about a game. Relax. We all watched on YouTube. Calm down.
God forbid the personality that we beg for from athletes actually comes out. And then when it does, we scold them. Oh, my goodness. All right. What the hell? Let's take this last one. Owen, you're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
So I was just wondering, are you guys familiar with esports?
Oh, hell yes. You bet your ass I am.
Do you think that I could ever see that maybe even coming to, like, ESPN or CBS?
It already is. They did the Overwatch League. They did the grand finals on ESPN. The one that I went to at the Barclays Center. It sold out. Like, matter of fact, the grand finals of the Overwatch League 2 years ago sold out faster than Jay-Z did in Brooklyn, which is insane. I had no idea what the hell was going on, but a lot of people got very excited when weird things happened on the big screens, yes.
Yeah, I really do think that is that could be really big, up and coming, for a bunch of games. And
thank you, Owen. They've got it all wrong, though. They got these games, as I said, where you sit and you watch it, and there's like 14,000 things going on. If they had a Mario Kart esports league, that would be the greatest.
Yeah. The game is timeless. Timeless.
Think of the ages that you get in. Like, you get, because kids play the new Mario Kart. You've got people who are in their like 50s and 60s who played it like when it first came out. I could see that selling out the TD Garden if there was a grand finals of the Mario Kart League. Hell yes.
So, do you know my friend I've told you about who camps out at movie theaters?
Oh, yeah.
He loves Overwatch. Loves it.
He's the guy.
He's the guy who stands in line 15 hours before the movie starts.
What I mean is that I don't know, and Overwatch League is big, I understand. I don't know anybody who plays Overwatch.
No, he loves it, and he can tell you like key roster moves and stuff, and what team. Oh, they added this guy. Like, he's real good.
How is there not a Fortnite league? Like, without as huge as that is. As a matter of fact,
it's not a team. Is it a team game? Is Fortnite a team game?
I don't think it has to be a team. I think you could just.
Well, that was terrible at these games. I don't know.
But that's the point. I mean, Overwatch is a team game. You have four or five guys, and you go destroy the other four.
Anybody want to invest with me? Let's start a Mario Kart League.
The only thing I remember...
Professional Mario Kart League.
So Owen's point, I remember... Remember they used to have the Madden Bus Challenge?
Yep.
Where the guys would play Madden.
That was on ESPN.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
See, so, that's... Now you're talking. That's something I can understand. I get what's going on there. Matter of fact, there was a Street Fighter thing that they had at the castle downtown. Like, Red Bull sponsored it. I think it was like 3 years ago. Sold out. Packed. Standing room only. Everyone was watching it. They put the two guys in a cage. Like, the guys who were with controllers in their hands. There were these huge screens. It was so stupid, but it was amazing because it's dumb and it's simple. Because that game is two people facing each other, beating each other up. You get that. It's easy to figure out. That Overwatch League, man, that is like, that's like stumbling into a foreign movie that is like an anime foreign movie where you have no idea what the concept is. It's a mind F, that game. And I don't know how they score it, but people love it. I'm telling you, Mario Kart League. But then you got to pick which Mario Kart. Do you go Mario 64, which is truly the best Mario Kart? Or do you go modern Mario Kart? Because that kind of, this one on the Switch is kind of awesome too.
I regret getting rid of all my N64 games. They go for so much money now.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
64 might be the best console ever made.
I know. Yeah, I know, and I threw it out. So thanks.
No, why, it's gone.
Why would you throw it out?
My parents got divorced. Want to bring that up next, maybe?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's get deep dark into it. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go to that dark place.
Perfect.
You know what? If you want to, make fun of his jeans one more time.
These are nice ones.
All right. Okay. Ty Anderson, thank you very much.
Good to see you more
often. Sorry it's been so long. 617-779-0985. There is a phenomenon that we have to address right after Joe Murray's headlines. Run. Touch and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Touch and Rich. The Stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. First of all, I just want to say thank you for hanging with me as I go through my John Henry impression.
I looked at the clock at about 8 minutes past nine, and you were talking with Ty, and I doubted that you would make it to 10.
Right around 8:15, my voice just said, F you! It's going to go. I thought it was going in one direction, and it's about once every, Dan knows this, what about once every 4 or 5 months, I have this weird thing with my allergies where I wake up and my voice is toast, and I don't know why it chose this morning, but it is.
You said this to me in the 6 o'clock hour, and what was the quote? I'll be fine by 7.
That's right. I was there for that. That's right.
And we are limping. We are literally limping to the finish line here.
Like, I am. It's like we're past Diane Wallach. I am.
Can you just say, is there a fire?
Was there a fire? Hey, we have tickets on sale. $9, $10. Mookie Betts is trash. I never wanted him in the first place. Where's some ice cream? Lick, lick,
oh,
lick.
Man.
Lick, lick. Not awkward. Licking ice cream. Love to lick ice cream. All right, so
have a little bit of news. I don't think it's worthy of the breaking news center, but I can tell you this gentleman named Andy Strickland, and I wanted to get Ty's opinion on Andy before we brought this onto the air. Ty says this guy is legit. And he is the ringside reporter for Fox Sports Midwest. He does the Blues broadcast. He does the interviews between periods, sure, that kind of stuff. He also is on 590 The Fan, KFNS, Sports Radio in St. Louis.
Louis,
yes,
right.
He is. He tweeted this out about 2 minutes ago. Expect a move involving David Backes before Monday's trade deadline, likely moving back to the Western Conference. Apparently, Strickland and Backes are friends, so this looks like it's going to happen.
Okay, so
at some point this weekend.
That's obviously, I mean, if it, now, it depends it, on what
don't it, know what the deal is. It could right. be one of a dozen things to get rid of that contract.
I mean, does it mean that the Bruins are ultimately making a deal with a team from the Western Conference, and that's part of the package? They'll have to take this Backes contract. I don't know what it means. If it's just a dump, then God bless the Bruins for being able to make that happen.
Well, you got to have to include a good minor leaguer to make it worth any Western Conference's team while.
Of course.
While.
But, I mean, just the fact that you're getting anything, and anyone's taking David Backes is a good thing. And you know what? Let's hope he plays. Let's hope wherever he goes, he plays, because, you know.
Unless he plays on the team that faces you in the Stanley Cup Final.
I might make that a better thing. All right, let's go to Derek. Derek on line one. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. So I just heard you talking about the Mario Kart League. I actually ran about a year ago. They actually do have a Mario Kart eSports League. The only problem with it is it's not up to par, of course, of the Overwatch League. The eSports community kind of doesn't take it as serious as they do Overwatch, but there is actually one out there.
I can't think of a game that's better for like a competitive like video game league than Mario Kart.
I completely agree because it's a fun action-packed game, and you know what the hell is going on. I can't watch Overwatch.
No, yeah.
I don't know what the heck is going on in there.
It's confusing as hell, and I've tried to figure it out. I can't. Doesn't mean it's not, you know, fun to go to those events. I mean, the people go nuts. It's interesting. The people watching is fantastic. But Mario Kart, I mean, listen, if you want to go old school, then you could do like a Mortal Kombat League would be cool.
No, but there's no one game that not only cuts across all platforms, but cuts across generations of people.
Mario Kart on mushrooms, man, what a hell of a game.
Let's go.
Welcome to Mario Kart. Mario. Yoshi.
What age was this? Oh, was this like last week?
This is when I was used to put those stars on the ceiling and you shut the lights off.
So you were like 9 or 10 doing mushrooms.
Probably like 20.
Okay.
21.
I do that for my kids. They're 10 years old. Or actually, we're out of that phase. They were 8 when they wanted it.
Hey, man. Let's do Rainbow Road again. It's the one that's in space and they're driving on a rainbow. Press A. Start. You did it on mushrooms.
It's a hell of a game on mushrooms.
See, now we would get loaded. Like, that was a college thing. We would just, instead of studying, we would all go to, you know, one of the guys' apartments and just get loaded. I still remember what we used to drink, because obviously we're super poor. Would be Boone's Farm, which is basically just fill a wine bottle three quarters with sugar and then pour like a tiny bit of alcohol in there. And that's Boone's Farm wine. And we would get wrecked and play Mario Kart because we were super cool. That's what we would just do all night, just play stupid Mario Kart. But it's easy. And you can pick it up on the Switch and you still know how to play it. It's just as easy.
Once you learn the turns with the brakes, you're good to go.
I could thread the needle back in the day. That's that little hole in the sandboard. Like a sumbitch. Right through there. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, what's up, man? Hey, what's up?
Not too much. So there's actually a company down on the South Shore. They go to different bars on the weekends, and they have GoldenEye Night and Mario Kart Night. And it's for money.
Not bad.
Good time.
Not bad.
And Rich, it was Goldschlager and Aftershock in college for us.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I've heard of that.
Goldschlager's when you're classy.
The Aftershock, though, I used to try to get those crystals on the inside. It was always hard to get. Well, yeah, that was like the thing. Yeah, that was like my heyday.
How often did you use shrooms?
I've done them probably, I mean, 8 times. I don't know.
Okay, 8 times. Like, now, what was
I used to play music, so I used to just do mushrooms and play music.
Okay, but it was really good, too. The music you came up with when you were on shrooms.
I told you, I'm trying to find the CD, but I wrote a song about someone who clogged the toilet one night, and we actually recorded it and produced it and everything. Try to find it at home. Try to CD somewhere.
Do I need to come up with a bounty of some sort? I need to hear this.
I gotta go back to Hyde Park.
And you were the singer?
I was the singer.
All right. So, like, did you, I mean, obviously, did you scream? Did you yell?
No. I know all the lyrics.
Give me a bar. Give me a couple bars.
It was like, oh, no, somebody clogged the bowl. Oh, no, somebody clogged the bowl. Oh, man, somebody clogged the can. Speculations are it was Suzanne. Bitch, better never do it again. I have it somewhere. You can just go home now, Richard.
I'm going to put that to music.
I can play the riff for you. I can use Barbosa's guitar.
There's a guitar here?
Yeah.
All right, let me come back. The one man show.
Yeah. No, I haven't played in years. I
performing
suck.
His hit. Samantha clogged the toilet.
Suzanne clogged the bowl.
Suzanne clogged the bowl.
It's called the bowl song.
The bowl song.
The bowl song.
Joe Murray.
Moving up 3 notches to number 7.
I'm not even going to say anything. I want it to come back from commercial, and the very first thing you hear is the strum of that sweet guitar.
No.
And your dulcet tones.
Oh, I don't even know where the guitar is.
When we come back, Joe Murray live, solo, and in your face.
Kutcher and Rich.
Sorry to disappoint you. No Joe Murray live. No. Wow. His guitar. The dude's already done enough this week. And listen to me. I sound like, I mean...
He saved you.
Wrecked.
Yeah.
Wrecked.
So you sure the Mookie Betts trade had nothing to do with the CBT this year?
Mookie Betts is someone who was loved and adored in this organization. But he was a loser when no one was around. An absolute tool bag. Speaking of tool bags, 98.5 is Sports Up Podcasts. Tool bags. You can see Dan O'Brien and Tony Maz with their heads in a urinal.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
It's close. It is scary close.
It's close. I've turned into him. Did your band ever play out, Joe?
No, the buddies I played with, they played. It was called Rozzy.
Okay.
And they played. They're very good.
So you played guitar and you sang?
I tried. I sang. I still do. I'll go out once in a while and sing, yeah.
You will?
I'll do like karaoke and all that, yeah.
Oh, hey. All
right. Alice in Chains was my favorite band, and I'd go out there and sing that, or Metallica, or Stone Temple Pilots.
We should start a 985 Sports Up band.
We could.
We should do that.
I'll sing.
I'll sing the voice like this.
Yeah.
Do Betty Davis eyes. Do a sweet cover.
So who, we got a bassist? What about a drummer?
I don't know.
Michael Hurley do drums?
Hurley's a drummer.
Okay. Yeah.
Get there Hurley in here.
I mean, I could fake the bass. Who needs a bass player?
Ted Johnson could be the bouncer.
I can do that.
Keep those
that
sons bitches off stage. Yeah, right, toss them back in.
You were a bouncer in college, I assume?
I was not. They wouldn't let us work, you know, in college.
I wonder why that was.
Yeah, I don't know. You know,
it's kind of weird how those scholarship things work.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You know? Like, most of us come from, you know, let's face it, you know, we don't come from high income homes. Most of the guys that play football.
Sure. Right.
But you can't work. You can't work to get a little extra scratch.
No staring at benches for money? No?
That's not how it works. There's an opening at Colorado right now, head coach.
Nobody wants that job, Joe. Nobody wants that job.
You haven't gotten a call?
Eric Bieniemy, I haven't gotten a call.
You didn't get a call?
Come on. Yeah, give me a call, CU. I have no desire to do that. Do you know what the hardest thing? And I was coaching in college to me is the most meaningful because you really can have an impact in these kids' lives. I had a great coach, Brian Cabral, my entire time there. He played 9 years and won the Bears, backed up Mike Singletary his whole career. He was the best coach for me at Colorado, but that was a different era, and he had a huge impact on shaping me as a person. But today, I don't know if I could go into these homes of these 18-year-olds and pucker up and tell them how great they are and just try and, you know, I mean, do the things you have to do to get them to sign with your school. I just couldn't do it.
Do you know how infuriating it probably is to put all the time and effort into a guy that you think is going to be like the next big thing, and you've just kissed their ass, you've flown all these places, and then you go and you think this is it, and all of a sudden, like someone like Saban just comes and strips them
right
from you.
Yeah. And I bet you, and that happens all the time. And I, Rich, I couldn't do it because of that. It would just be very, very difficult for me to put all that time, energy, and resources into a player. To just have them be stolen right under my nose.
You just
got to
give them more hookers than the next guy.
That's it.
That's it, man. And then they'll sign right away.
Do you know what's one of my biggest regrets is I came under the radar in high school. I was a late bloomer, if you will. Everything was by the book with me. I got no $100 handshakes.
Really?
They didn't bend the rules with me one time.
Remember Brandon Merriweather told us he got recruited? The best story Merriweather told us is that South Carolina recruited him, and it was women the entire weekend. You know who the head coach of South Carolina was? Lou Holtz.
Yep.
You're kidding.
No. Yep. Lou Holtz was the head coach at the time when Merriweather was recruited, and Merriweather quickly backed off and said, well, I didn't meet with Lou until the end. Sure you didn't. Okay.
Merriweather showed up to his hotel, and there was already a woman in there.
Yeah.
He went out to dinner, and when he came back, there was a different woman in his hotel room.
I mean,
Lou Holtz was the head coach at the time.
Yeah. Wow. So it's, very different ways of handling the recruiting process.
Not Johnny B. Good. Nothing like Johnny B. Good.
One of the most underrated best movies ever.
It's not bad.
I love Johnny B. Good, man.
Not bad.
Love that movie.
All right. So what do you guys got going on today?
We got, we're going to hit a lot of what the CBA talk with the NFL owners and the players. And there's this, a lot of, kind of news being thrown out there. That this thing's almost a foregone conclusion that it's going to get done. Well, it's really more coming from the reporters that I think are in bed with the NFL owners. If you look at how the players are acting about
J.J. Watt,
yeah, they're
didn't
like,
want
whoa,
anything
whoa,
to
whoa,
do
whoa.
With it. Yeah.
This 17 game schedule, no. This thing is he rejects it clearly, and a lot of players do. So I'm curious to see they vote on that. The union votes on whether or not they are going to agree to the terms the NFL owners are kind of proposing for this new CBA. I think it's going to get shot down, and I think it's going to be interesting. It's a fascinating kind of thing to see how this works, because do the players, they got the balls to stand up and take on the owners? I hope so.
Is it a TED Talk?
Yep, I'll have a couple of those today. I'm not sure the times, but I'll do a couple of TED Talks throughout the show. Nice.
Well, Joe Murray, you're a trooper, sir. Thank you for coming in.
You lose your voice on Monday, call me.
Double shifts all week. John, you did okay in the Big Johnson show.
Thanks, Rich.
You were fine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.